For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
This is Oklahoma Perspective. The Gathering Place on Riverside Drive has been open since August, and the response from the Tulsa community has been overwhelmingly positive. Recently, KRMG's Skylar Cooper sat down with Park Director Tony Moore to talk about the 4 months the park has been open and what the plan is for 2019.
Skylar Cooper with Tony Moore, Executive Park Director at Gathering Place. And Tony, I got to tell you, I went out just a couple of weeks ago. It was during the Winter Wonderland phase. And I love going back to Gathering Place. It was so much fun the day it opened and the tours that I got before it opened. But my favorite part has been to go back since the opening and watching people enjoy it and just taking it in with everything that it is. And now that it's been open for a couple of months and the 100 days celebrations have wrapped up, Tony, tell us just a little bit about what's been going on out there.
So Tyler, we've been quite fortunate in that the park has delivered as we had hoped it to do, and we're quite pleased with that. You know, in a short window, we opened, as you know, on September 8th, and we've had a quite strong amount of visitations, folks from all over Tulsa, but not just Tulsa. In our drive markets, Oklahoma City have come, and it was interesting over the holidays, just a lot of sharing from friends and families coming out to Sierra Park for the very first time. So yeah, we're quite pleased with how our community has responded. The state has responded. We're quite pleased with the feedback we're getting from our guests, and certainly the programming that we were fortunate to be able to provide seemed like it really delivered.
You know, I have a story for you. I just want to use it as a lead into the next question. I was out there a couple of weeks ago, and I will admit I'm almost 30, but I'm a big kid, so I was playing on the slides. And there was another adult male up there with his girlfriend, and both the girls were like, I don't think I'm going to do this. And the guys were like, I'm racing you down the slide. And they said at the bottom, they were like, you know, we've been out here, but we had our kids and they loved it. But we wanted to come by ourselves so we could kind of spend time doing whatever we want. And so people are coming back 2, 3, 4 times just to get and take it all in. So my question is, what are some of those stories that you've heard where people return because they didn't, I mean, you literally cannot see it all in one day.
No, you know, that's the beauty of the park. It's such a repeatable experience. And, you know, from a marketing point of view, we say there are over 100 different experiences that you can have in one day. And that's certainly true. And so we are, you know, in walking through the park, we're running into folks that says, look, this is day 10, this is day 12. And I'm sure you've heard of our Juan Moret, our 100-day guy. We call him the new ambassador of the park. Juan has been there for every day during our 100 days. And it's just remarkable, again, how he and the community has embraced the park. You know, it's interesting. You speak about getting on the slides, we have a dozen slides in the park. And while we're not an amusement park, at times it really feels like a theme park from an attractions point of view. And it's interesting to see the adults playing with their kids and able to enjoy the experience together. You know, a lot of attractions, just the children may engage and enjoy it and adults watch. But it's cool to see families, parents enjoying slides together. To that end, we are definitely going to have an adult play night sometime in 2019. So, you know, our guests are enjoying the park, enjoying the attractions. I appreciate you being out there and being young at heart and getting on the slides, man.
Yeah, I absolutely am. And I love the different things that adults can enjoy there. So yeah, we can be big kids and play on the zip line or whatever. But I also love, I think what I decided is one of my favorite areas on opening night as the sun went down, and I went back a couple of weeks ago to the same spot. And it's over there in front of the Williams Lodge. Number one, the building is beautiful and being in and out of there is great. But just outside, you've got the, is it the Mist Fountain it's called? And then on the other side with Peggy's Pond, I love the docks that go out and you can just sit on the chairs over the water and enjoy a peaceful scenario. And so you can have a ton of fun and then you can walk a little bit and then it's peaceful and it's quiet and it's wonderful.
Indeed. You know, that's just one of the cool things. Michael Van Valkenburg and Associates out of New York, MBVA, really designed a world-class park for us and one that provides so many different experiences. Yeah, you're right. You could just sit with a tranquil water at Peggy's Pond and just chill out and relax. Or you can, if you're a plant lover, you can enjoy all the 1.2 million plants and shrubs. If you're a thrill seeker, you can get on slides and a zip line. If you want, if you're a sports enthusiast and want to be young at heart, you can get on a skate or a BMX or get involved with a game of basketball, hoop it, or sport courts. If you simply just want to come and dine And for 2019, we have an awesome new restaurant opening called The Vista at the Boathouse. And so there's just so many different engagements that one can partake in and return for different reasons. And so, yeah, I'm like you. I really like sitting on the dock and just chilling and watch the waterfront. And also next year, we'll also be having our kayaks and canoe on the water. So just a lot more to come in.
When does Vista open?
So Vista will open in spring. We're currently going through our food tasting. It's one of the privileges of the job that you get to sample all the cool stuff that your executive chef cooks. So we'll be opening for spring for sure.
And I know we're working on, there's going to be a phase two of Gathering Place. What's that going to look like?
So yeah, phase two, currently we have just shy of 70 acres of our total 100 acres open. And so phase two is a 30-acre, just shy of 30 acres on the south end of the park that will have a children's museum that will be the main anchor, just adjacent or across from the sport court. And our hope is to have it under construction this year, 2019.
All right, I'm looking forward to that. There's so much to do out there. Before I get to one last thing, I wanted to ask you a question that I get a lot from our listeners here at KRMG. And a lot of people, it's overwhelmingly a positive experience. The one thing that people say, man, I wish they had done something different, is going to be parking. I'm sure you've heard that. So what can people expect when they go out there? What are some best practices when they go out there and plan the park?
You know, parking is a challenge, and we'll gladly admit that. One of the unfortunate advantages of being successful is that people come and visit. And so, you know, we're working hard. The unfortunate thing is it's just not something that you can solve in a day or so. So we're looking at a wide range of options, from additional parking within close proximity to the park. We're looking at the possibility. Actually, we will be putting down gravel in our parking lot that's currently grass to ensure that there's more consistent parking there. And we're working with the city and the mayor's office and TPD and looking at different options with close proximity. Mm-hmm. And not to forget, we do have off-site shuttle programs. You know, the thing is, it's so convenient to park close and go. And so a lot of our guests, unfortunately, are choosing not to use the off-site. And I get that. But we're looking hard at it, and we're really trying to have some different options available for spring as we get into our busy window.
So I know with the construction of the park, they planned every blade of grass, essentially. So was parking something that it wasn't anticipated to be this way, or was it overlooked? What do you think happened?
No, by public, how should I? This. There's a general standard that's used for certain parks, and we met that criterion in terms of the numbers. You know, technically we have over 500 and almost 550 parking spots. So when you add the grass to it, we're it's about 2,000. However, the advantage of being such a busy park and in doing such large numbers in a short period of time, you know, the park business, we say, you never build a church for Easter Sunday, and it has to normalize at some point. So we're going through the challenge of figuring out what the norm is and what, from a facility and infrastructure point of view, that we can handle. And so we've had a robust 4 months, which will not be the norm, I don't think. You know, when a park opens, it just really peaks, and then it normalizes after a couple of years or so. So we're watching those numbers closely. But, you know, technically we have about just about 2,000 parking spots. We just need to find a better way to capitalize and utilize those.
Well, part of that robust 4 months has landed Gathering Place on a nationwide poll. We're talking about USA Today 10 Best, and it's on the best new attraction list. And when it first launched, number one, it was really cool to hear that Tulsa's Gathering Place was on this list with some big city attractions in Orlando and New York and St. Louis. So that was an honor in itself. But then for several weeks, it was leading in first place on this poll, which was another real big honor for our city. But now it's slipped a little bit, and voting is coming to a close, so we want to make sure people go out and vote. Tell us more about this.
Yeah, Skylar. So this is a huge, huge acknowledgement, recognition for the Gathering Place, for the city of Tulsa, for the state of Oklahoma. It's my understanding, you know, USA Today, they're well known for their national polls, finding the best of the best in the country. And we are just honored to be, one, nominated for this, the USA Today Top Attraction of 2018. And so Tulsans and Oklahomans have responded in a strong way by voting for us. But the competition is on. A lot of other cities, larger cities, larger markets, they want this accolade as well. And so we need this for Oklahoma. We need this for Tulsa.
So right now, we need everyone that could possibly assist us to help us. The winner will be decided by votes. You have to go online to vote. You can do so by going directly to our website at gatheringplace.org. And there's a vote here, a vote now button. And we need everyone to vote. And you can vote at least once every 16 hours, at least twice a day. Polling closes on January 7th, so please don't wait. Vote as much as often as you can leading into 7th. You know, to be recognized in this manner, normally it's the attractions on the East Coast or the West Coast that get recognized, and certainly we're in competition with them, but we need this for Mid-America. We need this for Oklahoma. We need this for Tulsa to put us on the map and draw some attention to a lot of good things that's happening here.
I've gone on to vote a few times myself, and one thing that people need to know is it's really easy. There's no login or sign up or give them your information. You literally just click it and you voted.
That's right. It's just rather easy. So get out there and vote. You can vote from your computer, from your mobile device. Please, and I appreciate that vote, Skylar. And as many folks as you can tell, get out and vote. We want to win this for the state and for Tulsa.
Park Director of the Gathering Place, Tony Moore. The total number of homicides were down last year. Sergeant Dave Walker talks to Skylar Cooper about what he believes was the reason those numbers were down and what he plans to do to keep them down in 2019.
Let's start with just looking at the overall number. We had 65 homicides in 2018. Obviously, quite a bit lower than the last couple of years, but, you know, where do we attribute that? So what's the reason for a decline like that?
Well, I think the reason for the decline like that is the 2 years before that were just astronomically big. 82 and 83 murders in Tulsa is an aberration from the norm. 62 would be high, really, on any other year. But it at least gets back to normal as far as numbers go. I would hate to think that we're going to increase from 83 to 100, and then you know, the sky's the limit once we start that. But I think Tulsa is such a smaller community. When you start solving murders, you obviously take a killer off the street, and it makes it a little bit more difficult for that person to become a serial killer. And so the numbers will decline that way, and it also puts them people on guard. You know that. Hey, if you do that, the chances are, you know, 93-95% you're going to get caught, and that's a terrible lifestyle for a killer anyway.
Yeah, I like how the idea that taking them off the streets is going to help, but oftentimes it's not like, I know a large percentage of our homicides in Tulsa are either gang related or people up to no good, but sometimes they just happen spur of the moment, and it's a husband and a wife, or it could really happen anywhere at any time, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the spur-of-the-moment murders are probably the vast majority of what happens. I think our killers and our victims, had they stepped back just a minute, 30 seconds in time, and said there's a better way of handling it, you know, they would all be better off, and they wouldn't have done what they did. And once you pull the trigger or you kill somebody, then the clock's ticking that you're going to get caught, because you it's just not planned, and you can't commit the perfect crime even if you do plan it. So a spur-of-the-moment murder is going to leave a lot of evidence for us to start gathering, and mistakes that are made get found out, because the detectives working those cases are really just that good.
And they really are. Our solve rate was about 92% for 2018, which is just amazingly high. So how does that happen? How do we do so well in Tulsa?
Well, the first thing you got to talk about is the department allows us to solve these things. They are the ultimate crime that needs to be solved, and the administration understands that and allows us to put a lot of manpower and resources to use to investigate, identify, and then apprehend the culprits to these things. So that's the big thing. But the major thing about Tulsa is when we ask, people tell. And we're not at the murders, we being the investigators, so we don't know. And, man, it's amazing to me how good the people are once we can reason with the witnesses that, you know, we need to know, and they tell us. And therefore, the city is upwards in the 90 percentile of solving murders. So that's something that that can't be applauded enough. It's just the people.
Right. So you mentioned that taking the killers off the streets helps, but I know you've talked a lot about winning the young kids, making sure that they don't go down that path. That's also going to be a big deal, right?
Well, it has to be a big deal. I mean, that's the way we're going to solve the future generations, probably long after I'm gone. We don't want the murder rate to rise, and actually we want it to be at zero. You know, we start the new year just like a new season. You know, everybody's equal, and we're at zero this year, so let's stay that way. The only way we're going to, you know, reduce the numbers is reduce that mindset that killing is okay. And you got to start that young, and that's what I believe, and that's what I see. And if we can get to those young kids and find a different way to solve a dilemma instead of pulling a gun or a knife or a brick or whatever they're going to use to act out, then the numbers will continue to decline. But how we do that is everybody has to get involved. Again, it's going to take the city to fix that issue, and everybody that's capable of doing something good to the youth, go ahead and get it done.
I'm just curious, this is not related to ours, but just as a homicide detective like yourself, what goes through your mind when you look at a city like Chicago, who they've also had a downtick, but they still had 560? That must just be mind-boggling to you.
Well, I saw that number, and again, you know, I spent a little bit of time in St. Louis, and it's just amazing that those cities are so been allowed to deteriorate. It's kind of just like a house. I mean, if you don't keep it up, it's going to deteriorate and fall around you, and that's what those cities have done. And then it takes a major remodeling to get it fixed. You just can't allow Tulsa for these murders to go unsolved. So, and that's what happened in these larger cities. And for whatever reason, Tulsa's no different than Chicago, in my opinion. Law enforcement's no different in Chicago than it is in Tulsa. It's just, you got a lot more people and probably a lot less cops per capita. But, you know, there's still people that know what happened in Chicago, and you just got to go get them and convince them that's the way we need to work these. So I think Tulsa ought to, again, look at themselves and say, we may not have the, I don't want to say that, but, you know, we're so much different than those cities, and we don't want to be like them.
Right.
As far as the criminal element.
Gotcha. All right, man, that takes care of the homicide thing, but I just got an email, and while I've got you on the line, I just wanted to get your thoughts on it. We just got word from the sheriff's office that Mike Huff will be inducted into the Oklahoma Law Enforcement Hall of Fame, and I know you took over for him and worked closely with him for a while, so what are your thoughts on that?
I think that's a great honor and well-deserved, and boy, Mike Huff is the reason that the Tulsa Homicide Unit is where it's at today. We just got to keep building on great leaders, and he was a great leader. And it was pretty easy to take over. You just got to keep it up, and Mike Huff deserves it. There's not a better homicide investigator around nationwide than Mike, and the state needs to applaud him and give him his due. And congratulations to Mike. It's a well earned reward.
Very cool. I don't know whether I call you Sergeant Walker still. It feels so official. I don't know what to call you.
You can call me Dave. You can call me Sergeant.
All right.
I'm still called a lot of things, but I am talked to a lot. So
yeah.
But I mean by that by going to the grocery store and that sort of thing.
Sure.
So it's kind of cool.
Yeah, but you get recognized a lot just trying to live your life in the stores and everything.
Oh yeah, yeah, and it actually is again. How Tulsa's different a little bit. I mean, everybody's positive. Everybody's, nice. And I guess, if I meet the one that's ugly and mean, I'll be prepared for that. But, man, 100% has been all positive stuff, even in the grocery store. So it's not even planned.
Right.
So that means we're doing something right.
Homicide Detective Sergeant Dave Walker. Special thanks to KRMG's Skylar Cooper for the interview. This is Oklahoma Perspective for Cox Media Group. I'm Bert Williams.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.